This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code BobbySports to get in on the action. Blow it. Fired up now. Yeah. Although, because he wears his glove. Although, I just heard you say you're retiring your Cowboys watching glove.
And I think so, because, I mean, I wore it when the Eagles beat the Cowboys, so I think I'm going to move on.
But what if the glove actually made the Cowboys play better?
I mean, you can look at it that way. It's just...
I would only retire it if it's a streak. If it's a two-loss streak, I would then retire
it. Oh, two-loss?
Yeah, I don't know that I would retire something I felt passionate about because of one loss. Especially if it made them play better. Because we're talking logically here. That glove might have made them play better.
I mean, they did play all right. So
he couldn't even finish the sentence.
What do you mean?
Bobby.
He's trying?
Well, yeah. No, I just... I have things that I have stopped... But I would never just stop running after one loss.
And it's a package because it's the football that Matt Overton gave me when we went to the Cowboys game last year and the gloves. It's a whole package deal. So if I lose the gloves, I'm going to lose the football, and I don't really want to lose the football.
I think if you ever hit a two-game skid, that's when you retire it.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
But I just won because that one, it could have actually just helped, you know.
And it was against the Eagles. Good
question,
team.
Though. So this week, I don't even say anything, but do I take the glove?
Oh, yeah, you guys are going to the Cowboys game.
Yeah! Let's go!
Am I supposed to get you guys tickets?
What are you talking about? You said you got us tickets. You even said consider it a gift.
No, the gift was me paying for your hotels for the extra night.
Oh, my goodness. Kevin, please say something.
I think I do.
Reed, we're going to have to scalp.
No, guys. Hold on. I think what I did... I've fallen asleep on this podcast while talking since then.
That is true. It was the same day, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I messaged him and he said, "Yeah, I got you four tickets." So,
okay,
you guys are good. I'll just give Mike. You know him.
Yeah.
Just say, "Hey, Bobby said he reached out. Just put him in your name." I don't think he knows I'm not coming, so I wouldn't even tell him.
Hold on. When you say Mike, let him know. You mean like there? Like show up to the gate and
no,
be like,
just text. Mike knows his number. Has his contact.
Yeah, I'll hit him up.
Yeah,
I'm glad we brought this up now.
Yeah, me too.
No, I would have remembered. It's fine.
Show up at the stadium on Sunday.
We're in Dallas.
I just came from a school where there were kindergartners. Maybe they're 4-year-olds. We're not even in kindergarten, so pre-K. I don't know what it is, but they have a special guest day where they once a year each student brings in a special guest, and so I was asked to come be the special guest. By the, not really the 4-year-old, but kind of the mom and the dad of the 4-year-old.
Sure.
And so I go, and it's Jake Owen's daughter, who's 4, and I go and I read the Stanley book, and the kids are into it, and we finish. And they're actually really well behaved, which I was surprised by, because there were like a lot of them.
Yeah, good teachers.
And I didn't know how to react at the end, though, because two boys, probably 4, came up to me and they said, "Hey, your new name to us is Buttface."
What?
And I was like, "What?" And they were like, "Yeah, well, your new name's Buttface."
Oh boy.
And I went, reminds me of being young and them doing that to me, but in real time, same age. And I was like, yeah, but that's my real middle name anyway, so it doesn't make sense. They got so confused.
Ooh. Oh, you got him, dude.
Flipped it.
That was like smart. I went back in a time machine and taught those four-year-olds a freaking lesson.
They're like, wait a minute. Our middle name's Buttface now?
Mine is. That relates to our middle name. And they were so confused by that. So I just like to shout me out.
Good job, dude.
Really turning it on its head there.
A lot of practice. Mm-hmm. A lot of practice.
Coming up in a bit, we have SEC Network college basketball analyst Pat Bradley, who is... I mean, he was like all SEC. He made like almost 500 three-pointers in his career. I mean, he was lights out. And now he's an analyst for SEC Network.
You a big fan?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have Cincinnati head coach Scott Satterfield and defensive lineman Juwan Briggs coming up. So we got a real good show. And now let's get to the tittle tattle.
It's time for the stupidest name ever. It's the tittle tattle with Kickoff.
Which top 10 matchup are you most excited for this weekend? Michigan at Penn State or Ole Miss at Georgia?
Now, you got to know I'm a huge SEC guy, but I can't get enough Michigan.
You love that story.
That's the only thing taking
over. It's the greatest story. I can't get enough. I love it. You know, and they've cleared Ryan Day and Ohio State. They were never in it for wrongdoing, but everybody's like, I bet they're involved. The NCAA has come out and said, Ohio State has nothing to do with this.
Love it.
Ohio State, the family members, they have nothing to do with this investigation. The NCAA is also, no, the Big Ten has told Michigan, we might punish you. And Michigan's like, due process, baby.
So, like, in comparison to, like, the American government, if the NCAA is the national government or the, what is it called?
Federal
government. Then the conference, the Big Ten, state. Is like the state government?
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, they're like taking FICA out of stuff.
That makes sense.
Whatever that crap is. Michigan and Penn State, it's just so fun. I love a soap opera when I'm not the one. I love watching people on an airplane go crazy as long as the plane doesn't crash.
Right.
I love watching this when it's not my team. And it's nobody got hurt. Like nobody was like, well, speaking of Penn State, it wasn't like that kind of scandal with Sandusky where mm-hmm. people really got hurt and their lives were just destroyed.
Yeah.
This is stealing signs, some guy going all spy kids on him with glasses. Awesome. So I'm excited for that game because I just need more Michigan. Like, to really watch, I think Georgia's just going to whoop Ole Miss.
I think so, too.
But, man, Michigan and Penn State is going to be awesome. I like James Franklin at Penn State. I hope they win. But then if Michigan keeps winning, I'm happy, too, because – let them go undefeated.
Yeah.
God, that's the greatest storyline ever.
Are Michigan fans embarrassed by this, or they kind of just like, whatever?
They're fighting it more than anything, as I would be. If it were Arkansas, I'd be like, yes, shut up. It's sign stealing. Everybody does it. Even though I really know that what we did is we used technology and sent people and broke the rules. So if I were a Michigan fan, I would just – that would be my narrative.
And as long as you keep winning, I feel like you can just keep riding that, right?
Yeah but the story's going to get bigger if they keep winning. If they were to lose a couple, the story wouldn't be as big, but you'd also have lost a couple, and you're not in play for the national championship.
Yeah. Oof.
So
keep
both,
it going.
Both, yeah, let's keep go. It going.
I mean, I saw Dion saying, like, you know, it's – yeah, you steal the signs. That's a great advantage and all, but, like, you still have to execute.
Yeah, but the deal is these coaches aren't going to say anything about other coaches for the most part because if they're not sign stealing, they're probably doing other crap that's illegal.
So you just don't say anything.
Yeah, you don't really, you know, throw rocks. True.
Gotcha,
you
gotcha.
Live in a glass house.
I think about that.
That's true.
And you steal signs during a game, and that's all fine and legal. Great. If you can figure it out, awesome. But it's, again, sending people out, doing exactly what the NCAA says you can't do, which is having people go and scout pregame at other games.
Yeah.
Because everybody doesn't have the access to the same kind of staff. And also, the dude's dressed up in Western Michigan gear on so their sideline with the glasses that record. It's the greatest.
It just keeps getting better.
There needs to
like
be a movie.
It's like a sketch show.
Yeah.
So, Michigan, Penn State, for sure. Okay. All right, next up.
Do you think Missouri is being disrespected as a one-point dog at home versus Tennessee?
Nope. I was surprised it was even that close. And Missouri played Georgia pretty good. And Missouri's pretty good. But I think Tennessee's better. And I think Missouri probably shot its shot. Blew its load, whatever you want to say.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, nice.
On playing because they played
Loud
Georgia. They played Georgia hard.
Wow, another one.
And so
he's on a roll.
No, they played them.
I got you.
That would be wild if they played them hard, though. That'd be, and everybody noticed. the whole team. They had like Viagra in the water. Like someone spiked the water with Viagra.
That'd be quite the sight.
I just have this picture in my head right now.
Every single every player has a boner. That would be wild. And someone would go, "You couldn't think this up, but I did." Wow. I think Missouri probably gets beat by a touchdown, but good for them. I like to see programs that are kind of known for not being great start to be pretty good. It takes a lot of consistency to be considered good. But I like old Drink What's what he's doing up there in Missouri. He's an Arkansas guy, too.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, Eli. All right, what else?
NFL here. Do you think the 2023 Steelers are just the Vikings from 2022?
You know, that is a pretty good comparison because they have fewer yards than their opponents, and they've been outscored by their opponents overall, yet they have a winning record. It's kind of what the Vikings had happened to them last
strange.
Year. But I don't think the Steelers are as good as the Vikings were. I don't think that Kenny Pickett is as good of a quarterback. So I understand the similarities, but I'm going to go I don't care. How about that?
Hadn't thought about that.
You know, I'm going to go I don't care. I don't think the I thought that the Vikings might actually – I thought they could win a game or two in the playoffs last year. I don't feel like the Steelers can.
You're almost just waiting for them just to drop, right?
Yes.
Because at least the Vikings were undefeated too.
And the Vikings were doing it in like miraculous fashion. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
The Steelers are like
– It's ugly.
It's ugly. They play ugly football. There's nothing really dynamic about it. Unless Pickens gets the ball, and then when he doesn't get the ball, he's dynamic. When he's crying, he's not getting the ball. That's the only thing about them that's fun. Yes. All right, what else?
Did the NFL make a mistake by not flexing the Jets at Raiders game on Sunday night?
What a terrible game. Oh, my God. And they can flex, what, twice between weeks 5 and 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
How quickly can they make that change?
They could have made the change.
Week of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
They have flexed no game so far this season. They also can flex the later part of the season whenever they want. They can do two of them now up until 10, and then later in the season, they can flex every week if they want, right? 11
yeah.
through 18 or
yeah.
whatever it is. So this is a terrible game.
I think they gambled on that one, though, a little bit.
But they could change it now. They could have changed it 2 days ago.
Sure, I know, but there's still the gamble
well, no,
of—
5 days ago, mm-hmm. yeah.
There's still the thought of like, hey, the Jets, I mean, they're kind of on a winning streak. I mean, they could.
They lost last week.
Yeah, but I mean, not terribly bad. I mean,
but they win it ugly because they don't have a quarterback.
Right.
And the Raiders are all.
I wouldn't fight this fight. I just wouldn't. They're two terrible teams to watch.
You work for the NFL?
I mean, no, and it was a terrible game. So the outcome was terrible.
And the game that they won the week before, that was a terrible game, too.
Awful game.
Yeah. And their defense is good, but how fun is defense to watch? It ain't.
No.
And then the Raiders. So here are the two storylines, but the storyline doesn't equal a good game. The storyline is Aaron Rodgers, I'm back in 6 weeks, kind of. You know, he's saying that. He's throwing the ball 50 yards. He's telling the guy. And I think he went on Pat McAfee's show. I was like, I could possibly be back in 6 weeks, which is wild. And that's a fun storyline. I love that.
Yeah.
Antonio Pierce, coaching the Raiders. That's cool. You know, last week he let all the practice squad players be on the sideline fully dressed. He's like, they're part of the team, too. They're doing all the work. You know, he comes in and there was all the drama with, him getting the job and the firing there and the Patriots and, you know, all that happened. But those are just storylines that don't mean the game's going to be fun. Because it's going to be an ugly, ugly game.
Yes.
And I just want to go back before this is over and readdress something I've said many times that I am judged on this exact podcast for saying sometimes. Don't let people hit the quarterback hard. Because you know what happens? You get games like this. You get games.
They didn't hit him that hard.
It doesn't matter. I'm talking generally.
Okay.
You get games where your starting quarterbacks are out.
How about the rule is don't play when you're over 40? Like, no. How about, like, hey, man, maybe you should. How old is Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers won MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I get it. But I mean, like, when you do get tapped, you could get hurt if you're ageist. Over 40.
But I'm talking about in general. Even Garoppolo.
He's 39.
Aaron Rodgers is?
Yeah. Fine. 38.
Yeah, dang.
That's old,
he turns 40 actually
next month.
Yeah, I thought
he was like
45. That is ancient in football.
But you can't put that rule in, and it's not even the rule. He's not even breaking your rule that you just made up.
I was just trying to throw something, see if it stuck.
Think of the teams that don't have quarterbacks that are playing backup quarterbacks. Falcons.
There's a lot.
Although the Falcons backups are better than Ritter.
Vikings.
Vikings. The Giants now. The Rams now.
Browns,
Cardinals.
It sucks to watch a backup quarterback.
Yeah, there's not that many. The games are kind of
random. Yes, because there's so many back. So when I'm like, don't hit the quarterback, you're like, that's football.
It is.
No.
It is, but it's entertainment too, and
that's what
and
it is
we're messing
first.
With it.
Yes. Protect the quarterback so the games are better. That's all. That's Tittle Tattle. Thank you.
The stupidest name ever is the Tittle Tattle with Kickoff Kevin.
25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code BobbySports to get in on the action. All right, I'm building this parlay myself.
Why?
I'm just doing it by myself.
Wait, but we're the ones that got it right.
Oof.
You guys haven't nailed a college one in forever.
Yeah, it was my idea to go NFL, which is kind of your weakness a little bit, so I shouldn't have done that.
I'm just going to win and get us back on track, and then we can start doing it again next week.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, confidence.
I'm just going to put it back on track, and I didn't pick games that were super easy. So they're all three money line games, but two of them are super close. I've got Oklahoma State minus two, but it's a money line bet. Oklahoma State money line over UCF. And it's hard for me to go against UCF.
That's tough, man. That's one of our schools.
I just got to bet with my head.
Not
my heart.
Got it.
Tennessee over Missouri. Tennessee's a 1-point favorite. But I'm going Tennessee money line over Missouri. And then I have the Washington money line over Utah. A little bigger spread there. But Oklahoma State, Tennessee, and Washington. Bet three money lines. This right here, I've never been more sure. Of all my sures, I was pretty sure there. I was very sure there. I'm kind of sure there. This is the most sure I've ever been.
Okay, I like it.
Let's go.
Put the saddle on the horse, ride it in.
Let's ride.
Let's ride, baby.
Oklahoma State, Tennessee, Washington. If you want to take the 25 Whistles Parlay, check out DraftKings Sportsbook. New users, use the code BobbySports when you download the app. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, it's time for the weekend preview. Michigan at Penn State. I want Michigan to win.
Because of the drama.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because if they lose, it's not as fun. If they're not in the mix for a national championship, the story is not as fun. And the longer the story goes, the more I'm like, that dude's awesome. He is, like, loyal.
He is loyal.
That canary ain't going to sing. Like, you have to respect it. Like, they were cheating, sure. And people are like, I've seen a couple different guys go, it's always been a thing. Everyone should just relax. I agree, but you got caught. You just can't get caught. If they don't have proof, you'd be like, we're not cheating. Just don't get caught.
it's always been a thing. Like, teams have always sent a dude to where.
I don't know about how.
That's the crazy. Level,
specifics.
Like, yes. But everyone's always like, people have always stole signs. Sure. It's the history of time. But yeah, probably from watching game tape or being on the sidelines or. But not sending a guy that was in the military.
A spy.
That had a 600-page manifesto. Michigan at Penn State. I got Michigan winning, Eddie.
I mean, here's the thing. Penn State doesn't care about the drama. Penn State doesn't want Michigan to win. Penn State's going to play. And Penn State's good, dude. Penn State's good, and I think it's going to be a real close game that I think Penn State could win.
No, we don't
What
do
does
coulds.
That mean, though?
Is going to win. Is going to win.
Oh. Okay.
Is going to win. Kevin. But to be fair, I don't think I've seen one Michigan game this year.
Well, they haven't played anybody. They had the 111th easiest schedule.
Yeah.
No, hardest schedule. But now from the rest of the year out, they have the number one hardest schedule.
Well, that would probably be why I don't watch a lot of their games.
Yeah.
I'm still taking Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan, Michigan, Penn State. Okay. Alabama at Kentucky. I'm taking Alabama to win the whole championship.
All of it? You're
calling
it?
I've been saying it all year. Never. Don't count them out. Hey, like Eddie says, they could win.
Yeah.
Because then when they don't, you'd be like, well, I never said they would.
Yeah, exactly. You got me.
It's, dude, Milroe, he's playing out of his mind. And that was what the weak link was. At least it felt that way the first, I mean, when he got benched.
Mm-hmm.
So Alabama will beat Kentucky. Alabama will beat Georgia in the SEC championship.
Ooh.
Alabama will win the national championship.
Ooh, against Michigan?
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
You think he'd be in there somewhere, like, sneaking in?
No, he's,
Stallions,
no,
you know?
No, he's done sneaking in.
No.
I'm just
he
saying,
puts
dude.
On, like, a mustache.
Yeah.
And glasses.
No. Come on.
If
he's
Michigan's
ex-
in the national championship, he has to go to the game.
Yeah, he's ex-Marine. He can sneak in.
Okay.
That's
dun,
your love.
Dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. Alabama. Anybody have Kentucky winning?
No.
Miami at Florida State. Florida State's number four ranked team in the country. They're a 14-point favorite. Boy, Miami, we really thought they were going to be something for a minute this year, didn't we? Like, they had a little hope.
A little sliver.
They had a little hope. They don't anymore.
No.
Florida State wins that one. Utah at Washington.
Oh, you called this one earlier.
Yeah, but Washington, I mean, I just think Washington runs.
Mm-hmm.
And runs hard. I don't even think it's a hiccup game. I think it's probably, they'll be too focused that they'll just beat the crap out of them.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think Washington probably runs. Tennessee and Missouri.
Ooh, what a good game.
So, and it's supposed to be. It's only, it's Tennessee minus one. It's basically a pick 'em. So, Tennessee minus one. I'm going Tennessee. I think Tennessee really sticks it in them.
It's funny. Whenever you see a line like that, that's so close, and you think like, well, no, Tennessee's a way better team than Missouri. You got to second guess it. You got to be like, there's a reason why that line is that close. Tennessee wins it, though.
Yeah, I'm going Tennessee.
You have to because you're a fake fan.
Yeah.
In a good
way.
Well,
I got the hat on today. So.
Exactly. Like, you're this a fan, guy, but it's a new, you're a new fan, and you're not like a diehard lifelong fan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a positive fake fan.
I've never been that guy, by the way, and I'm very like self-conscious about it.
But you're being that guy.
No,
but
he's not. I would say it's only because it's a local team, and he's going because it's in proximity, and it's okay to be a proximity fan.
What Thank did you, you wear when you went to the Bama game?
Tennessee stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, proximity fans are okay.
Okay.
As long as you don't claim you've always been a lifelong fan, if someone were to say, who's your NFL team? I would go, I don't really have one, but I guess if I had to pick, it'd be the Titans because I live here and I know people associated with it. So I guess I'm just a Titans fan. But that's only because I live here, proximity. Yeah.
So Eddie gives me crap for being a Boston fan from California, and then I finally pick a local team, and he still gives me crap for it.
I don't care where your fandom is. Me being a diehard Chicago Cubs fan, my whole life, I'd watch 110 games of the 162 every. But I had access to them, meaning they were on WGN.
Yeah, we all did.
My stepdad was a huge fan. My grandpa, his dad was a huge fan. So it was kind of passed to me. But that's my lifelong fandom. It's not fake. It's probably harder to have that when you don't live close. It's easier to have the proximity fandom. But you can have both, but the proximity doesn't, it's not up there with true.
Hmm.
You're a diehard Boston everything,
yeah.
Which is weird.
That's since day one.
But did you ever live in Boston?
No.
And why?
My dad from Rhode Island.
Okay, so your dad gave it to you.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Perfect. Makes sense.
Yes.
Eddie is a loser for harassing you.
Thank you.
What do you mean? Like this week, he's going to wear a Cowboys shirt to the Cowboys
But that's okay.
Game.
He's going to a Cowboys game where we are being hosted by the people that run the Cowboys.
Correct, but I do have a vision of him changing teams after the game.
Oh,
I believe he's going to have so much fun at this game. and he's going to have a blast that in a few weeks he's just going to be watching more Cowboys games,
but that's
more Cowboys
okay.
games.
He's never going to be a lifelong Cowboys fan. Wait. He can be a Cowboys fan through proximity of his friend who's a Cowboys fan.
That's you, right?
Be like a, no, you. Oh. Be like a secondhand smoke Cowboys fan.
Yeah, yeah. I will never be a Cowboys
at
fan.
At that point, you're just a fan of every team.
I'll root for them this Sunday for sure.
Yeah.
I root for them.
Yeah.
I don't, but not, I'm not a diehard fan.
Yeah, I don't not like the Cowboys. I don't hate the Cowboys or anything.
Tell Bobby what you're doing.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
With the shirt?
Yeah.
So I asked Eddie for a sweatshirt. I said, hey, can do you have a sweatshirt? Because he gave me a shirt. And I was like, but do you have a sweatshirt? And he's like, why? I already gave you a shirt. I said, because underneath the sweatshirt, I'm going to put on a Patriots shirt. Just so my loyalty stays true.
So you don't feel gross.
Yeah, exactly. I still have my fandom on. And then I can put the Cowboys over that.
Don't you have a tattoo?
I do, yeah, yeah. So
oh,
I guess
you better cover that up.
You're not claiming to go out looking for a new team that you're a diehard fan of. You're going to support a team that's having you. That's nice. We wear freaking BYU jerseys when we go to BYU. I'm not a BYU fan. I like them now more. I root for them. But I'm a Razorback fan.
I didn't realize, but the other day I was wearing a BYU hat, a South Carolina shorts, and a Vandy shirt. And like somebody called me out. I'm like, hey, oh, my bad, my bad.
You're a mutt.
My bad.
Ole Miss at Georgia.
Georgia.
I would bet Ole Miss covers, but I don't think they're going to win. And this isn't the cover segment.
What's the line?
10.5.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
They're at Georgia, but I think Georgia wins, but Ole Miss covers. Michigan State, Ohio State, that'll be a bloodbath. Michigan State sucks. I wonder if Michigan State ends up hiring. Because you know who they're talking about hiring.
Leipold, right? From, is it Kansas?
Oh, I was.
Oh, thinking, oh, Urban.
Yeah, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I did see that
coming back
a while ago.
Well, it's just been like the big rumor.
But they interviewed the Kansas head coach this week,
which will be a great hire.
Yes.
Yeah. Texas at TCU. Let's go TCU.
Yes, we need that.
I know.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be really cool.
Because we're going to TCU.
Yes.
That's why. And also,
next week.
It'd be hilarious.
Not for Mike. Sorry, Mike.
Welcome.
Yeah, true.
Mike, did you go to Texas?
My wife did. I aspired to go to Texas, but I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, I wasn't accepted there. So,
but it's okay. It's he lived in Texas. I didn't go to Arkansas. I
no,
could
it was just a question.
But I mean, now no. You're so judgmental.
No.
You've been judgmental with everybody in this freaking room.
No.
I lived
in
Austin.
I don't know what's crawled into your butthole, but it is not fun. You're not fun today because you're giving everybody a hard time.
I was asking him a question.
My first paid radio gig was running Longhorns games.
Well, that's cool.
Well, that's cool.
USC at Oregon. I just wouldn't be surprised if USC. I think USC covers. It's minus 15. Oregon minus 15.
Quack, quack.
I think U.S. Here's the thing about USC. They've either given up or they have a new defensive coordinator, kind of, interim. The old guy's gone. But also, if they really care, I think they can still beat anybody. It's just, do they care?
Yeah.
So I would take USC and 15 points.
Does Caleb cry again or no?
I think he's done crying.
I don't know.
He's done crying, man.
There was one person who I saw the story. I sent it to Mike last night. It reminded me of Eddie because he bet a 20-leg parlay.
Come on, 20 games?
Mm-hmm. So here we go. His betting slip.
You're going to read all 20 games?
Well, yeah, it's men's college basketball. And so here we go. He had Clemson minus 14. He hit. And he put 60 cents.
God, it's beautiful.
On a 20-game parlay. To win $248,000.
Oh, come on. Please tell me you hit it.
So here we go. Clemson minus 14. When I read after, I just say one, then two. So we can keep track. Clemson minus 14 hit.
One.
South Carolina minus 12.5.
Two.
Hit. UConn minus 24.
Three.
Hit. Tennessee minus 26.5.
Four.
Hit. Purdue minus 19.5.
Five.
Hit.
Hey, real quick. Pause. You're on five.
Mm-hmm.
Are you reading the order of the bets?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Not my first rodeo doing broadcasting.
No, I'm just trying to see like...
Hey, not my first rodeo.
Hey, what crawled up your butt, man?
Exactly. did I say Purdue?
No.
Purdue minus 19.5.
Six.
Miami minus 23.
Seven.
Pitt minus 22.5.
Eight.
Virginia minus 15.5.
Nine.
Villanova minus 21.
Ten.
He's hit all of them so far.
Okay.
He's ten up.
Hits. Ten hits.
Ten down.
And it was how many total? 16?
20.
20.
60 cents.
That's it.
Okay. Colorado, minus 15.
Okay, that's 11.
Hit. Kansas, minus 27.
12.
LSU, minus 24.5.
13.
Texas A&M, minus 21.5.
14.
Texas, minus 30.
15.
Hits all of them.
He's at 15.
He's at 15 deep right now.
And I mean, most of these are favored. These are all minus bets.
Mm-hmm.
telling you.
Yeah, he bet all favorites.
Big
here.
Favorites.
Okay, so we're going to go Houston.
16.
Minus 27, hit. Arkansas minus 24 and a half.
17, that puckered.
Yeah, because we were watching that. We both bet that one. Yeah. Which I'm not going to count my basketball wins or losses in our betting. I mean, we may do a basketball one later.
Oh, because it's a different sport?
I did win a lot on the Arkansas. I don't want that to make up for the fact that my football betting has really...
Hey, last week was good.
Yeah, I'm climbing back.
Yeah.
But we're not going to count college basketball in this. We may go back and check it, but I hit the Arkansas game big.
Oh, that was nice.
It was nice. But then I lost a bunch. What game did I... Oh, the freaking Baylor...
Baylor Auburn.
Dude, I forgot I lost a bunch there too.
That's a good game.
Man, I went heavy on the Spurs plus 20 live bet, 20 and a half.
When Wembanyama got shut down?
This was against the Knicks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, we got this, baby. I put $40 on it. We got this. They lost by 21. Keep going.
That sucks. Alabama minus 22.
That's 18.
That's
or 17.
17.
Okay.
Hit. Arizona minus 28.
18.
Hit.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
San Diego State minus 14 and a half.
Oh my gosh. Cash out. Cash out.
I didn't say hit 19 yet. Hit.
Oh my good. Cash out. Dude, I'm freaking out for this guy right now.
He put 60 cents.
Yes.
On a 20 leg parlay. We're 19 in. He's hit every one of them so far.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
The payout's $248,000.
Oh my gosh.
The next game he had was North Carolina. They won pretty handily. The spread was 17 and a half. North Carolina won by 16.
Oh.
He lost.
Dude, that's crazy.
He didn't cash out.
He didn't cash out. Reed and I were just talking about this.
You don't even have to cash out. You can actually,
hedge?
Yeah.
60 cents, though. Like, what are you hedging?
No, it's not the 60 cents. Okay, you're hedging the money that you might lose if you lose it all.
Which
is basically
the 60
same
cents.
Thing, No. Which is what the payout would be.
Uh-huh.
But you could even hedge the hedge.
Oh, I got you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So let's say the payout is $142,000. Now, that's a lot of money you got to go get somehow and bet it.
Yeah, you're calling everyone.
But you can bet 20 grand on the opposite. And then worst case, you only win 20 grand. And then you, instead of when you lose the 140, but you bet 20 grand on the opposite result that was up against.
You understand, Kevin?
Nope.
Okay, it don't matter.
It's insurance on
like
your bet.
It's like a light sprinkle insurance.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like a half hedge on a hedge.
But you need a buttload of cash. Yeah.
So that.
Because you only had 60 cents to start with.
Yeah, true. So. You know that was the last 60 cents in his account. He's like, why not?
It was just in his account left. Yeah. Yeah, just
What I do is I always like, if I have change, like say I have like $14.72, I'll do a 72 cent bet.
So it's even.
Exactly.
So it's, NFL games. Let's pick our winners here. Panthers at Bears.
Panthers. Win number two of the year.
This is loading up today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this will be tonight. I'm going to go Bears.
Bears.
Wow, guys.
Do you guys want to do whomever finishes the worst has to pay $10? Oh. Not three of us. There's not a winner. It's just the worst.
Dude, you're milking me of $10 bills. Like,
well, we still have to do that, too.
Does this contribute to the promises or no?
Promises.
Oh, boy.
So $20 total, you're saying, this week.
If we lose.
Whoever finishes worst in this of us four has to pay an extra $10.
Okay, out of these pick'ems?
Yeah.
Okay, just all NFL? Right.
Yeah.
All right, don't be cute.
Panthers at Bears? Oh, Bears.
Bears.
Panthers.
I'll go Panthers. Okay.
Not a boy, Reed.
Are you keeping up with this, Kevin?
He is now.
You can always go back and track it.
Yeah.
Colts, Patriots in Germany. Colts, Patriots. I'm going to go Colts.
I'm going to go Patriots based on vicinity. Shorter trip for them.
Patriots.
I'll go Colts.
Texans, Bengals.
Bengals.
I'll go Bengals.
Bengals.
Bengals. Saints, Vikings.
Vikings.
I'm going Saints.
Saints.
Yeah
I'm going to go Saints.
Packers, Steelers.
Ugh.
Packers. Jordan Love.
Steelers, that defense is going to give them a long day.
Steelers.
Steelers.
I'm getting cute.
Titans, Bucks. Reed?
I'm going to go Bucks.
Eddie?
Titans.
Titans.
He's a fan.
Titans.
Oh, we got that. We got that.
49ers, Jaguars.
Ooh.
Mm. Kevin.
Niners.
Jaguars.
You got cute.
Reed.
I'm going to go 49ers.
Niners.
Browns, Ravens. Eddie.
Ravens.
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 Mm-hmm. Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means.
Falcons at Cardinals.
Oh, Falcons.
Reed.
I'm going to go Falcons.
Falcons, but I think Kyler might be playing. Oh, I'm still going Falcons.
Then give me Falcons.
Cardinals.
Ooh.
You got cute.
Lions, Chargers. Reed.
I'm going to go Chargers.
Lions.
Lions.
Chargers. Giants, Cowboys.
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 Them boys.
Mm-hmm.
Commanders, Seahawks.
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 Hawks.
Seahawks.
Hawks.
Jets and Raiders. Read your first.
Oh, I'm going to go Raiders.
I'll go second. Jets.
Thank you.
I'm trying to give everybody equal first, second, third, fourth, and not putting anybody up early.
I'll go Raiders.
I'll go Jets.
That's a coin flip. I'll go Jets.
Broncos, Bills.
Bills.
The Bills.
Bills.
Bills. All right, cool. Bills.
All right. We done?
Yeah, we're done. Good luck keeping track of that. Will you send that? Tannehill is going to be starting quarterback now. For now on, they said that too. They
Levis. Him.
I mean, sorry, Tannehill's
okay,
the bench.
Okay, I was going to say, like, sorry, let me sorry, make sorry. My...
Okay. Tannehill's on the bench. Levis is starting quarterback. Thank you.
I was going to change my pick.
Okay. Good job, everybody.
Good job on you.
Now let's get to our interview with Cincinnati head coach Scott Satterfield. Coach Satterfield was most recently the head coach at Louisville before getting to Cincinnati. And now they're in the Big 12, and it's like, welcome to your new school, and it's time to go up a classification.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're feeling it a little bit right now, but he's such a good coach and has won everywhere he's been. I do expect them to bounce back. But yeah, it's like, hey, okay, you get to coach. Oh, you're the Big 12, yeah. Sucker.
It's tough.
Yeah, so but you can follow. Coach Satterfield was so cool, so nice. Like normal.
Awesome.
But like a brain, like a scientist. Like, wow. You can follow Coach on Twitter at Coach S-A-T-T-U-C, as in Sat, University of Cincinnati. Coach S-A-T-T-U-C. Here's our sit down with Coach Satterfield.
Coach, this is a very interesting setup. Your office and the stadium is right in the middle of campus. I've never seen a stadium nestled into the campus like this before.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, first time I saw it as well when I got hired in December, I was like, man, this is very, very cool. I couldn't wait to see a game in here. And we, fortunately, we had our first game. It was a sellout, and it's incredible.
What's the goal and what brought you to Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, opportunity. I think, you know, when I think about the administration, I think about our president here, you know, I think about the things that they've done here at Cincinnati in the past and how good they've been. And then what we're investing in our program, you know, $134 million new facility we're getting. We're just getting into the Big 12 now, so we're finally at the Power 5 level, which is, you know, this school has been trying to do for years. So there's so many things that I think is on the up and up, and, you know, I wanted to be a part of that.
Whenever recruits considering you guys, like, what is your reasoning as to why they should come to Cincinnati over other regionally, let's say, same size schools?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a unique. You talked about our stadium located right here in the middle of campus. It's a very vibrant campus. They're going to get the interaction with other students, which is awesome. You're also going to play football at a high level. And you're going to play in front of a packed stadium, you know, I think it's 14 consecutive sellouts now and a crazy student body. You know, so the experience they're going to get here is going to be awesome. And on top of that, the education is really, really good. You know, what they're going to get out of here with one of the best co-op programs throughout the country. So there's so many positives that we can sell. And it is, quite frankly, it's an easy sell once we get them on campus.
Are you a coach that never stops thinking about football all the time at all? Or can you turn it off a little bit at night with family and a little bit in the summer?
Yeah, I think probably more in the summer. You know, obviously during the season, it's all football. I can't sleep at night because you're thinking about things we can do to you know, make our program better. But, you know, during the summer, try to get away, play some golf, you know, just hanging out with family. I think you got to have that downtime. You know, this job's too stressful, you know, 7 days a week, you know, feel like it's 24 hours a day throughout the season. So you do have to have some downtime in the summer, you know, get away and get away from it all.
What do you feel like schematically you brought that's different to this program that wasn't here the last few years?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I've been very successful the last few years, you know, really known for defense. You know, I think what, you know, offensively is what I've been associated with my whole career, been that side of the ball. You know, I think, you know, we're sitting here, I think, 12th in the country in offense right now. So we're able to, you know, do some things with that and, you know, open it up a little bit more offensively. You know, but I think overall, you know, we still want to be a blue collar physical team that Cincinnati has been known for many, many years. And, you know, play with that chip on your shoulder, you know, developmental players, you know, you think about some of the Kelce brothers, you know, Sauce Gardner, guys that have come through here that made themselves into great players. And that's what we're going to continue to be known for.
If you were the head of officiating, what would you make as the rule if somebody fakes it? Hamstring and then they're back up real quick. What would you, because that's stupid. I hate it. It's stupid.
I don't know. How do you know they're faking?
Well, because they're walking, and they're smiling, and they're giving high fives.
You can tell.
And then a signal comes in, goes, and they go down.
They just fall.
Well, if they do that, then give them a 15-yard penalty. I think sometimes like we had a game this like a few weeks ago where our fans are booing the guy. I think it was from Oklahoma. And he actually was on the stretcher and then was on crutches at the end of the game. So he actually was hurt, you know.
Our
fans were booing him. So I think, you know, there's a fine line there, you know. But yeah, if they're doing what you're saying, then, yeah, we need to give them a penalty.
Shouldn't, though, they have to be out for more than one play? Hurt or not hurt, if you go down and you're trying to stop the flow of the game, mm-hmm. you're an offensive guy. Mm-hmm. It annoys me when they're trying to find ways to stop an offense from moving by doing things that aren't defensively a strategy.
Yeah,
that's legal.
No, I know. It's you know, that could possibly be, but I mean, you know, where do you draw the line? Is it two plays, three plays, four? You know, and sometimes guys are legitimately hurt and they need to come out for a couple of snaps, but you know, it is aggravating.
A series.
Yeah, maybe come out for a series and then
a month.
And a month.
The whole year.
But you know what? If we do that, then that'll deter them from getting hurt.
Then you have people playing hurt. They just won't come out. They're just dragging their leg behind them.
Yeah.
Coach, back to recruiting. If you thought about using Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift kind of as a, hey, guys, he could do it. You could also get a Taylor Swift.
It's just happened here in the last couple of weeks, you know.
So you haven't thought about
we
that.
Hadn't got our thinking caps
it out
on
in the literature yet.
Yeah, you know, I know they're selling jerseys. They're selling, you know, the Kelce jerseys and the whatever they call Swifties, you know, back. But it's a lot of great pub for Cincinnati and anything those guys do because they love Cincinnati and you know both of the Kelce brothers. Their podcast is killing it, you know, and you know Sauce Gardner as well. So there's a lot of great players that have come through here. But right now that is the hottest topic going on in football.
I'm telling you, get on it, Coach.
I know.
Coach, as far as when moms and dads or grandmas or whomever the guardian is of the kid and you're with them and you're meeting them and they want to go play in the NFL, like what can you do for that kid and what can you tell those parents to make them feel good about sending them to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one thing you got to look at is history of the program. I know we just got here, but it's still history of the program. I think 16 players were drafted in the last 3 years out of Cincinnati. So you're going to get an opportunity. You know, we're going to get scouts are here every single practice. They're going to get looked at. If you do things right, obviously on the field, but then also off the field and taking care of your business, then you're going to get an opportunity to go to the next level. And I think that's what anybody wants. And if you have a track record for that, then you're going to get that opportunity. And we've had a track record of that over the years when I was at Louisville and App State as well, where guys are, you know, going on to that next level. But this place here really sets those guys up, I think, because of the developmental program that we have. They're going to continue to get better and better and better, play with a chip on your shoulder, and I think these NFL scouts, I mean, that's what they love about our kids.
When you recruit wide receivers, are you looking for still the traditional tall, you know, can be 6'3", 6'4", or will you give a shot now to more of these 5'6", 5'7", guys, as long as they have a lot of speed?
Yeah, I like fast guys. And I think, you know, as long as they can make plays, I don't care what their size is. You know, I think as we go recruiting, we're trying to find some guys that are, you know, your 6'3", 6'4", that play on the outside, as well as those little slot scat receivers that can fly, you know, Tyreek Hill type player. But if you can play, you can play. And that's what I look for. I mean, I don't try to, you know, go into recruiting and say, you know, he's got to fit this certain category. I want football players, you know, ballers, you know, this guy can play ball. So let's find a spot for him. I think that's what we try to do more than anything at every position, quite honestly.
Coach, say I live in outside Chillicothe, Ohio, and I've got this kid. We don't have a football team in our high school, but I got a son who's really good. He's big. He's fast. You need him on the team. What's the easiest way a parent could get a hold of you and say, Coach, you need to look at my son?
He doesn't play football, though?
Well, he just doesn't play for the high school, so he'll never be noticed.
I know, but if he doesn't play for the high school, where does he?
Maybe he's played high school in the backyard. He's just really good. Or football in the backyard. He's just really good.
Well, if that's the case, he's going to have to come to camp. Okay. You know, so we'll have a camp in the summertime. We have about 7 camps, and so we'll try to get these guys in. And we get requests. We get crazy requests, emails, you know, and it finds its way to me and our staff. But what we try to do is just get them here, number one, and we start finding their story out and say, okay, well, you need to come work out for us at camp. And then if those guys can play, we'll find a spot to get them on the team.
I don't understand the question.
What about tagging him on, like, Instagram?
No, he's never played football, though.
If he never played football, he's going to have a hard time probably making it on our team, you know.
Now,
other sports, like we've had guys that maybe played basketball and never really played football, and then we try to transition them over. You know,
has that ever worked with you?
Yeah, we've had a receiver that was in the band, was a basketball player, and ended up playing NFL 7 years as a wideout.
Look at that, NFL.
Yeah.
But he was playing another sport. You're like, if the kid's never seen a shape of a football.
you know, not all high schools have football teams.
I thought the question could have been like a kid at a AA school who doesn't get
an attention. Right, I get that. I should have said that. That's
the dumbest question you've ever been asked?
That's pretty dumb.
Yeah, okay. You're right. I think it's one of the dumbest I've ever heard. Jeez. Coach, whenever you look back at Louisville and here, the color schemes are very similar. You'd have to change a lot of clothes.
Yeah. Didn't have to change a whole lot.
The logo changed, logo, you can still exactly wear the right. same stuff.
We went from we were Adidas there, now we're Nike. I like the swoosh. You know, swoosh is a little bit better. So we had to change that as well. And you know, as football coach, it's funny because wherever you go coach at, that's your closet. You know, so it took a while to start getting accumulate the gear from here. But the color schemes were great. It's easier for my wife and kids. You know.
All right, final 5 questions. I want to go to App State, which was, that was you twice. I mean, playing and also coaching. And the biggest upset I've ever seen in my entire life, you were coaching it when you guys beat Michigan.
Yeah, 2007, September 1st. Incredible. We had just come off of 2 national championships at the Division I AA level at that time, FCS now, in 05 and 06. And we had a young team, but we go up to Michigan, and, they had just come off a Rose Bowl. Great team and somehow went up there and made a bunch of plays and won the game on a blocked field goal. It was incredible. It really changed Appalachian State forever at that point. You know, their admissions went through the roof.
People were going to school there because of the win?
Absolutely. Yeah, we went, and the GPA to get into school, like, it was so hard to get into school. We had like 16,000 applicants for 3,200 spots. And so they're going to take the highest GPAs, the 4.2s are coming in. And so it really grew our school and our enrollment. And, that you're talking about, just a sport of football that did that for that school. And then it really hasn't slowed down and stopped since then. You know, when we made the transition in 2013-14 to go to FBS football in the Sun Belt now and to won a ton of games there at that point. And so changed the whole landscape of the college at App State because of that.
We need a statue of him. I'm going to start that. We need a statue of Coach at App State. That's all.
Are we going to make that?
I'll do like plaster of Paris. You ever see that back in our
Michaels
class?
And get something?
Did you feel like that you could actually win that game going up there? Did you feel like you matched up well with that team?
We did. We had a lot of speed, and I think the thing that worried us was being able to stop them. I mean, they had Mario Manningham. They had the quarterback that's still playing in the NFL. They had Jake Long at left tackle. I mean, these guys were NFL players, great players. And we ended up picking them off, I think, twice. They threw 2 picks in the game and kept us in it. And, it came down to the end. Our kids made enough plays. We made the field goal. And Corey Lynch actually blocked the field goal, who played in the NFL as well, played here for the Bengals. And, it was just one of those magical days. And, I get asked about it every September now.
It's the craziest upset I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, game-wise, the craziest. The craziest play I think I've ever seen is the – Auburn, Alabama field goal that didn't.
Unbelievable.
And we talked to Coach Malzahn too, and he was just like, I kept looking for a flag. After that block, were you looking for a flag, or were you just like, that's it, ball
no,
game?
No, we were. I was up in the box, press box, and it was over. Was stunned. And then we just walked through the stands from the press box, and everybody really just standing there with their mouths open. What just happened?
Coach, what's it like to turn on the TV, turn on the radio, and these idiots are criticizing your game plan or all that? Like, what, do you just kind of like laugh at that stuff? Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they speculate on an injury and like you don't even know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it gets frustrating at times, because people really, they think they know, but they don't know, and we're sitting here, our coaching staff and our players, we're up here all the time drawing up plays and trying to figure out scheme to beat the opposing team. And you know, and then they criticize every play if it doesn't work, you know, every single one of them, you know, and then when it works, oh, that was a great call. When it doesn't work, that was the worst call in the history of the game. And, you know, but so you just got to take it all in stride. You try not to listen to any of this stuff. And now more than ever, you know, with social media, you know, if you want to find something bad about you, you know, just click on social media, you know, and you'll find it.
Final two questions. Help me understand. I saw NFL team do it. I've seen a couple college teams do it. Fourth and one, you're in shotgun, and you hand the ball to the running back 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I've seen it stop 3 times in the past week. I need help.
Yeah, that's a dilemma. You know, I get asked this a lot, because we're a shotgun team. Although this year we have gone under center and gotten, I think, 4 first downs
for 6 inches.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, but they pack air. You know, the thought is
spread the defensive line, but when they're not spread, when
they're all up in there, you know, and you're back here handing it off, it makes it a little bit more difficult.
No momentum for the running back. He's just standing back there chilling.
That's right. Well, and then the other thought is, okay, well, if you have a running quarterback, well, okay, you can act like your hands to the running back, and then the quarterback can go on the edge.
But nobody did that.
I mean, I know it. And again, when it works, it's fine. But when it doesn't, that sucks. Like, what are you doing? You know. So, you just got to find a way to get a first down any which way you can. You know.
Do you do the Jalen Hurts push?
We have. We did. We've done it. I think, like I said, 4 or 5 times this year, and we've gotten every one of them so far.
Let's just do that.
Well, I think I saw it 5 times last
week. But I saw this weekend the team's trying to sneak it. They didn't get it. It didn't work. Now, Philadelphia is unbelievable the way they do it. But teams have not mastered that like they have.
Then I'm lining like right here.
Like you?
These quads right here. All right, final question, Coach. Do you have a play that you've drawn up that you one day want to run, like a super secret trick play that you haven't – you don't have to tell us what it is, but that you haven't done that you're waiting on?
Yeah, we actually do. We have one right now. That I thought maybe we're going to run it last week, didn't. So we got it on the shelf, but we're going to pull it out. At some point this year, we will run it. I've never run this play. I feel certain it'll work, but I can't really divulge.
Don't divulge it. But what's the name of it? Without saying what formation it's in. Just give us a nick.
Firebird.
I like that. We know it. That's already going to work.
Yeah, we know that Firebird. One for sure. I like it when he does the somersault. This one throw him.
The backwards somersault.
Did you ever do the play where the player would come off the side and like, you're a jerk, and then he takes off running as a wide receiver?
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
I've seen that work high school level and college. And
there's no question, because it's, you know, bad eye control. They think they're coming off or whatever, and they relax, and all of a sudden, touchdown.
Dang.
Coach, where does the Firebird come from? Like in the shower? Were you thinking of that?
Oh, why we call it that?
No. When you actually come up with a play.
Oh, this play?
Yeah, where are you thinking about? In the car?
I mean, it could be anywhere, Laying in 3 a.m. when you're not sleeping. Or you know, maybe you saw somebody else do something similar. Like, okay, well, let's tweak it a little bit, and then let's do that.
Will you let us know when you do Firebird?
Yeah, afterward? We'll let you. Afterward. Yeah, absolutely. I'll send you the clip.
That was for you, Bobby.
This is what, and we'll wrap this here. But after you run Firebird, and once it works,
come on.
If you'll just draw it up on a piece of paper and sign it and send it to me, I'll frame that and be like, I knew about Firebird.
We'll do it.
That's absolutely. For him, Coach. For me, can you find a camera and be like,
no. To all the kids who've never
Bobby
played
Ball.
Football.
Just do that.
Coach, congratulations on all your success, your sustained success. I mean, if I would hire you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. One day I may need you to.
I was looking at just how you've been able to build programs.
Mm-hmm. You mean you want them on the radio show?
No, I mean anything. Okay. Like, you look at if I were a mom or a dad or a grandma, whomever, I would look at you as a guy or a coach who goes in and changes the course, the foundation of a program, because you've done that everywhere that you've been. And I'm excited to see Cincinnati, which, by the way, taking a step up at the same time. You came here, and now, you know, they're in the Big 12. So congratulations on everything, and just a big fan of you and the program.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks,
and
Coach.
Firebird for life.
Let's go.
Firebird,
baby.
Firebird.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Now, this is our interview with Cincinnati defensive lineman Juwan Briggs. Juwan, team captain. He's married. He's got three kids. He was an Under Armour All-American in high school. Is a really great singer. Watch him sing on like CBS Daytime.
It's pretty amazing.
When he sings, yeah. So here we go. Juwan Briggs. Follow him. J-O-W-O-N Briggs. Here he is. Juwan Briggs.
You're like one of the warmest football players I've ever met. Yeah, like as soon as so you nice. See him, you're like, you want to be his friend. But then is there a switch you flip when it's time to play defense? Like, where does the beast come out?
I'd say it's, and this is funny, I use this term to describe Coach Sad, actually. It's kind of like controlled intensity. So where, you know, I might not be fuming necessarily. As soon as I step and put my hands on somebody, you'll know that I'm not as calm as you think.
What do you play for?
Family. That's just the number one thing. I think it's a chip on the shoulder, and it's also a motivator. You know, a lot of guys have a lot of goals and a lot of wants, but it's different when you have something you actually need to do and some people you actually need to provide for.
Now, I've been married for a couple of years only. We don't have any kids. You do have kids. So why should I have a kid?
I say it's one of the most fulfilling things you could have, because one way I look at it is, you know, just being able to understand that you made something unique that literally can't be remade in any way, no matter what, even if you have another kid, you know, it's just the uniqueness of it. And then just the opportunities. I'm just interested to see how it happens with them.
Well, Juwan, it was really,
are you leaving your helmet on for the whole interview
he
again?
He doesn't really know how to have a baby. So
well, no. I don't want to know that. No, I'm good. I don't need that part.
I don't know that part.
No, that now I feel weird, man. So you got your kids can come to the game.
Yeah.
Do they know what dad does though?
They know. They're
like two and younger, right?
Yeah. So my son understands the football part, but my daughter, she's just here for the loud noise. And then my youngest son, he's mom here. Yeah, he's like,
yeah, I'm just here for the loud noise too.
He's just along for the ride. So I mean, other than that, it's all pretty interesting. I mean, he's getting to understand sports. So it's pretty fun to see.
You're so well-rounded, and I've seen you sing. You're a freaking great singer. And, you know, we work in music and have worked all different formats, and we sing in a band ourselves. But it's like you're different. Like, you're an athlete. You're a great singer. Why are you so well-rounded? Who and what were you exposed to that made you even have curiosity about these other elements?
So I say it starts with my family, first of all. So my parents, their parents, they were all, like, musicians in their own right, singing, playing different instruments. Then I have four older sisters that were all musicians. Then I kind of got the trickle-down effect, I'd say. And then also to add on to that, my dad would kind of always tell me, and it might sound bad, but, you know, it's good. It's some good, tough love that I appreciate now. He would always say, enough is not enough. So that kind of instilled in me the fact that I'd like to be an eclectic person. I like to kind of try to do as much things as I can. And, you know, if I'm bad at something, then I'm bad at it, but at least I tried out to do it.
How do you do college life? You got a family man, you're a football player. Like, do you enjoy college life? Do you get to go to parties or anything?
Nah, so I actually do enjoy college. Funnily enough, a lot of guys just think I'm just kind of, you know, the boring dad. But yeah, I have a lot of fun around here. I'm actually in my fraternity as well. So I have a lot of events that we do with them. And then a lot of times just hanging out with the D-line, kicking it, shooting the breeze. And, you know, when I have off days and, you know, I make sure the kids are asleep, of course, but you know, past 8 o'clock on a weekend, you know, coming off a fresh win, you know, a nice step out, have some fun, you know, but I mean, it's obviously nothing too crazy because, you know, you got to come back home and take care of those things at about 7 o'clock in the morning.
When you're down, you're playing D-line in a game, like, are you just shooting for a gap and just hoping that you hit something in your gap, or is your head up and you're looking for, like, your angle is so difficult for, I'm not flexible at all, not much of an athlete anymore. But it's like, I just feel like I would just push forward and beg. What are you looking for?
So the first thing I would say, you know, even before I get in the stance, I look at the formation. And then a lot of times, as much as if you study enough, you see a formation that you've studied, you'll know where the play is going. So if the running back is away from me, I'll say, well, dang, the play is probably coming this way. That offensive lineman is probably going to step my way. So depending on what I have to do on that play, whether go forward, go to the left, or go to the right, I can then put myself in a good position that way. So say I know the running back is on the right. That means the O-line is coming to the left. I'm on the left side, so they're coming to me.
So you'll just go forward and just expect them to you to be in the right spot, or will your head be up and your eyes looking for the ball?
Oh, no, my head's up, and I'm actually going to strike a man. So I'll go and strike the O-line coming to me. That way I have control of my gap. I have control of my man, and I'll have some good leverage. Then once the ball finally commits and comes my way or it goes that way, you know, I can finally just get rid of the guy and then make a play on the ball.
What's the timing on if you can't get to the quarterback? Do you wait and jump when he throws? What? So you feel like, I know I'm not going to be able to get to him in time. Will you take a step back and wait and try to time it?
Oh, no, no, no. That's
no, of course not.
No, 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 no.
I didn't mean that question. That's a stupid question. That's a stupid question.
I think that's one of the things people get misunderstood, because a lot of O-linemen are nice. But I'm telling you, if you go against a gritty O-lineman and you run and then you wait and jump, that guy is going to punch you right in the chest while you're in the air, whoosh, put you right down. You might not want to get back up again. So the best thing my coach always says is just run towards him and match hands. So match his throwing hand. Just try to get your hand up in the way. So it kind of acts as a disruptor.
When you've got the open gap and you see the quarterback, are you feeling like, it's time?
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. But you got to keep your head on the swivel, though. It might be a trap play or it might be a screen. So, in those instances, the whole line
screens.
They'll just let you run right through.
Those defensive linemen are dummies, I'm mad. Mm-hmm. I've run a halfback screen. And they're like, defensive linemen, like, oh, I'm going to get the quarterback. Wham.
You're talking about real life,
though.
I'm
not mad, though, bro. It's awesome.
You sneak right through. You think you're scot-free. Next thing you know, you look back, it's a freaking 50-yard game on the screen.
What about offsides? Like, what? Like people, every time you're watching your team, you're like, oh, God, come on, guys. Like, how easy is it to jump offsides?
I'd be honest with you. It's kind of pretty easy to do. It's easy to jump. And then it's easy to line up offsides, too. Because, I mean, if your helmet is, like, slightly breaking over, offsides, right?
Are you listening to a count or are you watching the ball?
So that all comes with film, too. I prefer to just watch the movement of the person in front of me. So I'll watch that. Some guys, if you're right over the ball, you can watch the ball, but I mean, if you watch enough tape and then you see the tendencies of the quarterback, you'll be able to guess the snap count as well and be able to get a jump on that.
5-year, 10-year, 20-year goals?
5-year goal, it's pretty much all the same for me. And I said this when I was in high school. It's pretty much make a nice, decent-sized amount of income to where I can live comfortably for the remainder of my working life. So until I'm like 65, then I can retire.
Doing what?
My degree is basically based in computer science. So probably working in computer science, maybe doing some research. I'd obviously love to pursue music, but I don't know if I have the kahunas to dive all the way into music.
I don't know what
like
kahunas
that.
Means to you, but you definitely got the voice to do that. What about football?
I mean, football, yeah, that's for sure. So, you know, just having a sizable income, I mean, that could be a pretty, pretty damn big sizable income right there. So we'll see what happens after this year and see how I do and, you know, see where I place myself in April. But, yeah, you know, my goals pretty much stay the same. Just make sure I have a nice amount of income to be able to provide and live comfortably.
Last question for you. What do you want your kids to know about their dad?
I want them to know that he's eclectic and that he loves them very much.
And he's warm. Ooh. And it's like, I want to be his best friend. Like, I've known him for like 20 minutes. And it's like, I want to have a picnic right here. Group hug, for sure. Group hug. Come on. There he is. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. That's
awesome.
Thank you.
It was fun, for sure.
All right, who are the pretenders? Who are the contenders? We are more than halfway through the NFL season, but DraftKings Sportsbook is still pumping out unbeatable offers every single game. New customers can bet just $5 on anything to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the football action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now. Use that code BOBBYSPORTS. Put that in for us, please. Please. New customers can bet just $5 on anything to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code BOBBYSPORTS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or www.1800gambler.net. In New York, 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort Kansas, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana, 21 and up, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football. Terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I do want to talk college basketball for a second. Pat Bradley, SEC Network, all SEC in 97 and 98. He's got like a million three-pointers. I think almost 500, almost 600. I forget the exact number, but it was. I like that. Yeah. I'm not sure. But what is it?
I think it's 400.
So almost five. It was right, almost 500. Yeah. Think about that.
That's amazing.
I can't hit one.
No, exactly. Yeah. Give me 20 shots, I'll hit one.
Keep up with Pat's analysis. Give me 600. Might hit one.
Make one.
Give me. All right. You keep up with Pat's analysis this basketball season by following him on Twitter and Instagram at PatBradley22. Here he is from SEC Network. Pat Bradley. Hey Pat, what's up, buddy?
Bob, hey, what's up, my man? How you doing?
Good. A little disappointed. I was watching Baylor and Auburn, and I'll just be honest, I bet a bunch of money on Auburn. And it was like Baylor just hung around long enough to like 4 minutes left in the second half and then just took over. Do we expect Auburn to not be that good this year?
Well, they brought back a big man, Jahni Broome, who is a heck of a player, and they're looking for the next guy to be able – to take control of their offense. Typically, Bruce Pearl's teams have a strong backcourt, a strong, creative, experienced guard. This year, he's got a kid. He's a freshman, Aiden Holloway, as you saw last night. Actually, it was a couple good freshmen. The kid Walton for Baylor is a heck of a player. But I think with Auburn, they're athletic, they're energetic, great effort. They like to get out and run. They got a lot of depth. So depth and defense, as Coach Fran Fraschilla called it last night. I think that's going to be the calling card. So Auburn is and will always be a tough out. That was a great opening night game for Bruce Pearl and Scott Drew. You see, not a lot of coaches want to engage in that type of a game, but I think it's a great learning experience. Now, it goes a long way in terms of, you know, when you start putting together your resume at NCAA tournament, you're like, well, we got a big win against Auburn or Baylor. So these are important games. They really are early on. But also you can take that and it's a great measurement of where your team is at. So it's not a lot of teams like to do that. So I tip my cap to those guys because even they got Bobby Bones. on a Tuesday night watching games in November.
Yeah, because betting
when
on
you're
it.
Usually preparing for football.
Hey, I hear you, but I was betting on it, so I, I'll just bet the SEC if it's and Baylor. To me, I guess I just feel like they're not the Baylor of the last few years, and so I thought, here's Auburn, who's always tough, and here's Baylor. I don't know. I think they're ranked like 20th, maybe they're ranked 20th before the new rankings come out. Is Baylor better than we thought, or is just Auburn just so young it's going to take them a second?
I think there's two things. So Baylor had an incredible turnover as well, and I think they brought back just one starter from last year, and you know that program, Scott Drew, what they've been excellent at. He's always been good at transfer portal stuff, but he's also been really good at getting guys in the program and being able to develop them. So this was a whole new aspect for him as well. And Baylor's got great depth too. So both teams sort of are in that transition period, but that's college basketball. That is college basketball right now, is how do you manage a new roster? Most teams have all new rosters. The ones who don't have a new roster, Tennessee, Michigan State, Purdue, and you see those are the teams that are projected to go deep in the tournament. But I think both Baylor and Auburn were in similar situations where they had one or two guys from previous seasons come in. Both had a stud freshman to come in, and both played really well last night, Walton and Holloway. But that's just the state of how you have to be prepared to coach in college basketball now.
I was hanging out with a guy who's a massive Kentucky fan when I was in California. So we kind of had this bond. He had a Kentucky shirt on, and he was like, "Aren't you a big Arkansas fan?" So we're hanging out, and he said, "This is our year." But I kind of feel like Kentucky fans are like Dallas Cowboy fans, where every year is their year. But Cal Poly can't even win in the tournament. It's been a really bad run. Is there any chance, one, that Calipari isn't there after this year if they don't have some postseason success? And then, two, is it their year?
Well, it is their year every year because they have the ability. Again, college sports, different with the NFL salary cap, college sports. You can bring in five stars. Think of Nick Saban. He's got five stars backing up five stars, okay? That's the kind of depth he has, and that's what college sports allows you to do. But with Kentucky, yes, I understand that Coach Cal and the expectations of Kentucky is Final Four compete. You know, they're competing for a national championship every year, but you've got to get to the Final Four or every couple years. But you consider, you know, the year COVID hit, they had a legit chance, legit roster to go to the national championship, win a national championship game. You take that away from him. Next year comes in, it's a whole new roster for him. He's got young guys. Those guys did not take well to everything that was changed during that COVID year. It was tough to practice. They don't make the tournament. Then what happens is the next year, you know, you look back at a couple of years ago, they lose to that St. Peter's team. So I'm not giving excuses, but they were a 2 seed when they lost to 15 seed St. Peter's. Again, you shouldn't lose that game, but you're a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. That means you're a top, you know, that's a top 8 right there. So I look at this year's team. They got the number one recruiting class. They've got, you know, I mean, 4 or 5 NBA guys, very young NBA guys on their team, okay? So they have a chance. The two most important guys for Kentucky this year are going to be the shooter that they brought back, Antonio Reeves, and a transfer, Trey Mitchell, who's a fifth-year college basketball guy. Those veteran guys have got to figure out how to work with the young guys because, as you know, there is no way to gain experience unless you go through it. And so those guys have got to help the youngins who are very talented get ready for the SEC play, which is the SEC from top to bottom is probably the deepest and toughest league from top to bottom. Now, they don't have as many Duke is a national championship finalist, Purdue, Kansas, Michigan State, Tennessee you can throw in there, Arkansas after what people have seen recently from them. So, but I think top to bottom, the SEC is the toughest.
Is Tennessee, in your mind, the best team in the SEC?
So it's like 1A, B, and C. Tennessee, people forget about Texas A&M in Arkansas. But Tennessee, they are always going to be top three in the country in defense, always. And what does that give you? You are in every game. You have a chance to compete in every game. It's not like some teams who are just average defensively because now the opposing team can score whenever they want. Now it all just depends on, can we make buckets? Tennessee, because they're so good defensively, they're going to be able to control part of the game. The issue with them is they've been inconsistent offensively. Coach Rick Barnes goes out. He recruits a couple of great scorers and great shooters. That's what everybody wants to do. That's the beauty of the transfer portal. We can go free agency, grab a shooter. We need somebody who can run the team. The question is, can these guys transition in their first year to making shots, scoring, and be consistent? Tennessee, they've got the roster for it. It's just the production side of it. We saw last year they had some big offensive games, and then sometimes it went kaput, nowhere. They couldn't make a bucket. So it would just be consistency and offense, and they're as good as anyone in the country.
Do you feel like Rick Barnes has a bit of the Kentucky's new association with, they just aren't doing it at the end? Because Rick Barnes, he's known to put great teams in the tournament, and then they tend to peter out. Although recently, maybe not as bad as it used to be, but do you think he still has that kind of monkey on his back?
Well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Obviously, he – and the reason why that is a discussion is because he is consistently either winning the league or coming in the top two in the league. So he's always there. Consistently throughout the season, they're there. But the tournament is a different animal. It's like, as college basketball fans – And as a fan of sports, we love March Madness, right? There is nothing like March Madness, nothing. However, with March Madness, you lose the accomplishments of the regular season. You forget that Tennessee wins the league, and if they lose by one or one possession in the second round, then it's like, that season wasn't worth anything. But, that's really not the truth. But you're right, and I think a lot of it has to do with Tennessee, and they build, obviously, defensively, he's going to teach. He's going to coach. They're going to give you that. I just think when they do have the tendency to have an off night offensively, that is what bites them. And all you get, it's just going to be one bad night on offense in the tournament, Bobby. I don't care who you're playing. One bad offensive night, and you're done. You're knocked out. Season's over. That's what's dangerous about the tournament.
When you were playing and you've made almost 400 three-pointers at the collegiate level. Did you ever have a night, I want two versions, that it seemed like the rim was 10 feet wide and you felt like you just couldn't miss, like one of those in-the-zone nights? And did you ever have one where, like, what is your worst shooting night that you can remember?
So I can answer this in one game. So coincidentally, or ironically, I don't know if I'm using that word correctly, I made the most threes I ever made in a game. I made 10 in one game. And in that same game, I missed the most threes I ever missed in a game, which was 14. I went 10 of 24 in one game. Now, most teams, you look at the box scores from last night, most teams aren't shooting that many from three, even in today's game. But Coach Nolan Richardson had gotten ejected in the first half, which then gave me the green light to just fire away. And the team we were playing packed in the zone because we were a lot more athletic than them. So I just keep chunking it up. So to answer your question, it was both. It was the same game. It was like I was failing it. And then, I'd miss four in a row, and then I'd make four in a row. And then I missed five in a row. Then I missed three, and then make three in a row. So the same night. It was my riches, and it was the best shooting night and the worst shooting night.
Shooters shoot, obviously. Do you ever miss four, five, or six and be like, man, I just don't have it? Or was your confidence always there?
It, you know what it is? After you miss two in a row, it becomes like you become not angry, but you become determined and stubborn. That's one of the things that I always say, and I'm sure everybody can relate to this. The things that make you good at something are also some of the things that kind of hurt you. So I was very stubborn. So I needed to keep shooting to make the next one, because I could not finish the game, or even when I was working out, finish the workout on a miss. So if I missed two in a row, I had to shoot the next one immediately so that I could make, I had to make it and kind of clear my mind of missing two in a row. But so that, yeah, that was the mentality. You just got to keep shooting because you don't want to ever end on a miss.
You ever have a night where you're missing, or you can be hitting, and a teammate goes, "Yo, Pat, chill, dude. Like, don't shoot every time you get the ball."
Yeah, Kareem Reed used to tell me that all the time. little point guy from the Bronx, and he would give me the look. He would yell. He would say anything to me. We had that kind of relationship where, you know, we cuss each other out. But he got his point across, and he was right. Most of the time he was right. When I would just catch it, I was almost like I was not even thinking. It was just like a reactionary thing. I'd just catch it and shoot it. And everybody would be looking like, can we just at least try to run a play before you jack it up? Like, okay, end a shot clock. When we don't have a shot, maybe jack it up, but just let us run a play first and see if we can get an easy bucket.
Funny. Eddie?
Yeah, Pat. So, like, these early season games, you know, where you have LSU playing Pecan Valley and, you know, they score 110, you know, like, is it an accolade for these teams to score over 100? Because as a fan, you're like, come on, let's go, lay it on them.
Oh, there's no doubt. These are the games where you can pad your stats, especially early on in the season, because – you know, you have opening night, you get 20. Now that establishes you to have, you know, build up on, you know, next game, maybe get 17 and then 15. Now your point per game average is high, and the ability to put up numbers. And the other thing too, with scheduling, you know, the teams you're talking about, it's about building the confidence for the team. Obviously, I think for the fans, and then the coaches want to get as many W's under their belt to start the season as possible, especially opening night. I mean, that's just important for the fan base and the coaches. They want to run it up as much as they can, because even the guys on the bench, you don't know when your next opportunity is going to come to get in the game and score.
All right, two final questions. One, Arkansas, you mentioned them, obviously. Massive fan, both of us. It's got to be tough to be an analyst and just analyze without your heart. So analyze without your heart this year's Arkansas Razorbacks.
I would say that they are – it's a whole new team. So the challenge is going to be – and Coach Musselman is – he deals a lot with the transfer portal. So the challenge is going to be figuring out which 8-9 guys that you're going to settle on. And one of the things that they don't have – is I would say a true post presence. They've got, you know, 6'10", 6'9", 6'10", but they don't have like a back to the basket, throw it in the post kind of guy, which is fine, because what they have is a collection of perimeter guys who can attack the basket, motion offense, guys dribble drive, either they finish at the rim, dribble drive, draw the defense in, kick out for a three. That's what they have. But their strength is the perimeter in the backcourt rather than that big traditional big guy. Now, with that being said, I don't know if you got, you know, they played Purdue. Arkansas played Purdue in an exhibition game, and they played against Purdue's 7'4" National Player of the Year, Zach Edey. And so they were able to, you know, no one's going to stop this guy. He's a mountain of a man. But they were able to at least battle with him. So they've got enough length and strength and athleticism to battle in the paint. So I would say that would probably be the biggest thing, is that interior, whether it be protecting the rim or finishing at the rim. But they play with great energy, great effort. Coach Muss has great perimeter guys, great length. And one thing that they improved from last season, and Coach Muss wanted to, he wanted to recruit shooting. They got much better shooters this year. There's 5-6 guys that can knock down threes this year, which hasn't been the case for the last couple seasons.
Can you still fill it up?
That's all I can do. I can't run. I can't jump. I just sit there like this. I try to make about 125 a day still.
Wow. Where are you going to shoot every day?
Well, that's a big controversy, Bobby, because one of the gyms that I went to, we had two full court basketball courts, two full courts. So there was always a net to shoot at. And then I didn't come in one time, and they made one of them a pickleball court.
Oh,
I go, what the? How are you going to take away my basketball court for a pickleball court? So now there's like, you know, you can't get an empty hoop nowadays. So sometimes I'll go down to the park, you know, go down to the blacktop, old school style. Sometimes I'll find a gym where I can get in, or, you know, I used to sneak into the gym. I'm a master of sneaking into all kinds of arenas. There's one thing I know how to get into. A locked arena, a locked basketball arena to shoot around. That's one of my skills.
Do you ever run fives at all now?
No. Last time I did, I busted my knee. You know, I got a cut on my head. It just isn't worth it anymore.
Oh, man, I would. That would be so fun to watch. Like Pat, just not even say he played ball ever. He's like, yeah, you guys mind if I hop in? And then just how tall are you? Pat? How tall are you?
6'2". 6'2".
So he's not so tall that you would go, this guy for sure played at an elite level, and then just watch him just bucket after bucket.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Unless he can't run, and then I'm like, oh, why did I come? He can't even run. Okay, so you guys follow Pat on Twitter and Instagram at PatBradley22. SEC Network does a great job in studio and even calling games. Love to hear when you're doing the play by the color on the games too, Pat. So
yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's all about having fun, entertaining and informing.
Appreciate you, buddy, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, Bobby.
All right, see you, Pat. All right, time for the end of the show. This is what I have here, Eddie. We're going to TCU.
Yes, the Horny Toads.
On early next week. And I have our gear from Charlie Hustle.
Ooh. Nice.
Man, this is such good stuff they have.
Yeah, they didn't even pay us to say this, but yeah.
No. I'm not saying it because of
that. Cut this clip for me, Reed.
It's really good.
I'm cutting it.
They do have good stuff.
Charlie Hustle has sent us our TCU gear, and they have, you know, a bunch of teams that they have licenses with. And a lot of their stuff is like retro old.
Yeah, that's what I like about it.
Some of the stuff's obviously new, but like you had a BYU shirt that was like national champions 1984 or something like that.
So cool. Yeah.
They do a lot of cool stuff. So you guys check out, what is the website where we put our stuff? CharlieHustle.com/BobbyBones?
Yep, that's it.
So they have a lot of teams, but the teams that we go to and a lot of the college stuff is up there. CharlieHustle.com/BobbyBones.
Do they do NFL teams as well?
They have the Chiefs.
That's it? Because I'm looking for a good Cowboys shirt.
I don't know if they have license deal with the Cowboys.
Okay, I'll check.
I hope you guys have a great weekend. Eddie, grab this some of the stuff.
I will. Thank you, man.
And then, I don't know, you guys, I hope you all miss all your NFL games unless I picked them with you. Go Arkansas, beat Auburn. And I don't know.
Promises.
Oh, our promises!
Let me get it.
Come on!
Also, Bobby, I was going to tell you last night, sucks. I am the king of not cashing out.
No. Say what you said. I'm an idiot.
I am an idiot. I placed a $50 bet on a 3-leg parlay, these no-name college teams, and my cash out was $1,100, and I didn't cash out.
Oh, my God.
I didn't cash out.
It was a 3-game, and you got to $1,100?
You have, like, yeah, the underdog money lines.
Yeah, 200 dogs, and they ended up smoking the other team. One of them was a plus 1,800.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't cash out.
You lose by one bet lose?
Yeah, it was like a minus 120 was the odds, and it lost. They were supposed to win by 18, and they won by 14, I think.
Did I tell you that me?
I won a football game last night. I bet like $900 on a football game.
Yeah. On a college football
Mac action?
Game?
Yeah, I like the
Toledo.
Maxion. I like the Maxion.
Yeah. What, Eddie?
Me, Reed, and Kevin did a $5 each, and we did how many games?
12.
12 games, and we missed two.
Oh,
out of the 12. That was to win like 45,000.
God, that was awesome.
Oh my gosh, I thought we were going to win it.
I bet $938 on the Bowling Green Kent State game last night.
Oh, great game, man. Great game.
Well, no. Before you start going, I can't believe you did that. Bowling Green was minus 380, big favorite. And I bet $938 on the Bowling Green money line. And so I won like $200.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't.
Okay. That's safe. Safe-ish.
You had one of those last weekend too.
Yeah, if I've seen a team and they're also getting great and I'm like they're good and they're huge odds, I'll bet them.
You watched Bowling Green before?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because
it's one of those nights.
Not that I get confused. Western Kentucky's in Bowling Green.
Yeah.
But yes. Bowling Green is not in Bowling Green.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things.
Got it.
Earlier in the year. So yeah, I did that. But I have. Let me find it here. Open. Oh, we need to do our promises?
Yeah.
Don't forget, I have a Eagles Super Bowl championship where I bet $350 for $3,100. And they're now giving me a cash out over my ticket price for the
Take
first
it.
Time.
Take it.
No, it's $356.
Take it.
I bet $350. I do have
No what?
The Baltimore Ravens. I have Baltimore Ravens future, $250 for $3,700.
Leave that one in there. That's a good one.
I can make a little money on that one now, but only
what if they play each other?
Then you're good. Awesome. Win-win.
I have the Cowboys, but that's not doing great. And then we have the Saints as a morning show. There are 12 of us put in $50. So we put in $600. If we hit that one, it's $18,600.
No, we're done.
Oh, I'm quitting.
But the thing is, they might win their division. Just get in the dance. Get in the dance.
Yeah, because the dance is easy.
Get in the dance. Okay.
Once you're in the dance, you can tango, right?
That's right. Do your promises. Reed.
I'm going to go Cowboys minus 16.5. It's going to be tough, but I want that game to be fun when we go. And so I'm going to be rooting for them real hard.
Did we add a half to that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, no.
Eddie?
Man, Bones, I don't know. Reed's an idiot. I don't want to follow that.
Man.
So I'm going to go the same.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys minus 16.5.
I can't believe you cash out on $1,100, Reed. What was the,
I know.
What was the payout if you would have hit?
$2,700. Which... The only reason I didn't is because I kept waiting. It went to
greed.
It went to 1,200 and then it went to like 900 and then I was like, okay, as soon as it gets back up to 1,200, I'm gonna cash out. And then it gets to 1,100.
Whenever that happens, just cash out immediately.
I
know you're making deals.
I know. And then it suspended and then I was screwed because then I couldn't cash out regardless. And I was like,
oh man.
Sucks. It's terrible.
Sucks. Kevin?
My promise. My team. My number one team, big fan. Let's go, Tennessee. Go Vols! Go Vols! Minus one at Mizzou.
1.5. It just flipped.
Oh.
You still
go Vols!
Vols minus 1.5?
Minus 1.5.
And I am going to go with our boys from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Nice.
They are I believe 5-point. Let me make sure. They are minus 5 at home against Wyoming. And I'm taking UNLV.
Cool.
Wyoming.
Let's go.
That's it.
I like it.
Thank you. We're done. Hope you guys have... we forget anything?
No, you're not falling asleep again, are you?
No, my head hurts, though. And I got a meeting, and then I got to work out. I just don't feel good. Eddie, do you want to blow the whistle?
Oh, you know I do.
I remembered it this time.
Ready?
Thank you. Everybody be safe out there. Tell somebody you love them.
Oh. Ooh.
Do a kind gesture.
And cash out when you can.
And cash out when you can.
That's a great advice, Ray.
Thank you, guys. Bye, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.